Prospect Analysis Show. I'm your host, Chris James, and we have an excellent show lined up for you this week, folks. I'm going to continue going through each and every player selected in the NFL draft, and this week we're going to do one division, that's the AFC South. But over the next couple of weeks, we're going to finish up rather quickly. I'm going to do three divisions next week. I'm going to finish up most likely the remainder of the AFC, and then the following week the remainder of the NFC. As we transition into a new stage in the Football Game Plan Radio Network, last few shows of this particular variety, bittersweet, but it's one of those things where we want to keep things fresh over here at Football Game Plan. We want to do things the right way, and we want to put a product out there that you all like to listen to. So, with this being one of the last few shows, if you would like to participate in the show, more than welcome to. The number to call in is 323-657-1489. That's 323-657-1489. We're going to go ahead and jump on in. The Houston Texans are going to be up first. Now, the Texans are one of those teams that, you know, every year we have a first-to-worst candidate, worst-to-first candidate, I should say. And the Houston Texans looked like one last year except for one position. That was quarterback. I was leery of trusting Ryan Fitzpatrick, and he actually played decent football in the beginning of the year. It just wasn't good enough. They ended up getting Ryan Mallett to come in. And Mallett, before he ended up tearing up his pec, did a pretty good job. I think they actually have their quarterback of the future on the roster in Mallett if he's able to come back and develop. He does exactly what Bill O'Brien wants him to do from the perspective of how he plays the game. Big, strong kid with a heck of an arm. So, you know, finishing up the season 9-7 last year, doing a great job. The Houston Texans were one of those teams that they're on watch for this year. Now people think that they're a team to be reckoned with, especially if Clowney gets going. So what do? Like every team in the NFL draft, you try to add more talent. And they actually had a few picks to do that with. The Houston Texans had 7 draft picks this year. And without further ado, we're going to jump into it. I'm also going to talk about some of the free agents that are picked up on each of the teams that you should watch out for. If they don't make this particular roster, they might make a roster somewhere. So, the Houston Texans, first round, 16th overall pick. They went with Kevin Johnson, a cornerback out of Wake Forest. I gave this an A grade. You know, I think the Texans understand their biggest issue, which was defending the pass, especially the deep pass. For some reason, they had issues where their corners and safeties just didn't communicate. This guy is a great cover corner. He has a lot of quality mirroring skills, and I think that he'll work very well in this defensive scheme. He's going to probably play the boundary corner, end up being matched up on the number one receiver from the opposition more often than not because of how good he is in mirroring. So, great pickup for them. Second round, 43rd overall pick, Bernard McKinney out of Mississippi State. Apparently, they have plans to move him to the outside linebacker position and have him rush, taking advantage of his aggressive nature and his striking ability. I personally do like him at an inside linebacker. Others don't. He does struggle in the pass game and coverage, but I think that he does have the read and recognition skills to play the position. No matter what, they got a good player who will be effective for them. I gave it a B-plus grade. I think that he will be able to be put on the field, and it's all about accruing talent. He might not fit exactly what they want to do, but I think that he's good enough and talented enough where he can make an impact for this organization. Third round, 70th overall pick, Jalen Strong, wide receiver out of Arizona State. I give this an A-plus grade. You know, I had high hopes for him. I thought he was a first-round pick, one of the best receivers. I said he's the fourth best receiver in this class, behind the likes of Devontae Parker, Amari Cooper, and Kevin White. You know, they needed a replacement for Andre Johnson, a guy to keep Hopkins at his natural position of a Z receiver. Strong fills both it needs by giving them another guy, big, strong-bodied guy, and also he can play that X position. Fifth round, 175th overall pick, Keith Mumphrey, wide receiver out of Michigan State. I gave it a C grade. Reason here, I don't think that Mumphrey is an issue as far as his talent, you know. They do need a slot receiver, and it's been a big deal since the departure of Kevin Walter. They've missed in the past, so I'm hopeful that they won't have missed again with the selection of Mumphrey. He's played well at the end of last season, and he could end up being a really quality addition to this roster. I just thought they could go somewhere else in this particular draft class to fill that need. But this young man does have the ability to turn it on when necessary. Sixth-round pick, 211th overall selection, Rashard Cleat, outside linebacker out of USF. I gave it a C-minus. You know, he has a lot of speed, definitely has physical ability. You know, he's a guy who will probably go out to the track and run a 4.49 for you. But I don't know where he fits in on the roster. You know, coming off the edge, will he play there? You know, he's a little, quote-unquote, undersized for that. Will they try to move him inside? I don't think that's a natural place for him either. It's just figuring out where he plays in on the roster, and I thought there were better additions that were out there that they could have gone after instead of going with Cleat. But I do support him as far as a USF Golden Bowl getting drafted. That's great. You know, I'm stationed here in Tampa, actually a USF grad, folks. So I'm glad that a USF player got drafted, but I just don't understand the pick and selection for this particular organization. Sticking in the sixth round, 216th overall pick, Christian Covington, D-tackle out of Rice. I gave it a B. You know, Covington has the ability to excel at DN in the 3-4 scheme that the Texans play. They can move him up and down that defensive line. I think he'll be a very effective player playing in a fill position behind a guy like J.J. Watt. And then the seventh round, 235th overall pick, Kenny Hilliard, running back out of LSU. Gave it a C+. You know, Hilliard should prove helpful for a team that needs a pass-catching fullback option. I think that's where his value really lies here in the NFL. He's also able to line up in a single back, a la, and I'm not saying he's as good as this guy, so people don't flip out, but like a Mike Allstott used to be used, or even like they use Mike Tolbert in Carolina sometimes in a single back set. So those were the selections from the Texans. Let's look at some undrafted free agents that could make the roster. Look at Jake Cotton, former tight end who moved to tackle in Nebraska. Big, strong kid. They like depth there in Houston on the offensive line. I think that he could be an addition that could stick. Curtis Drummond, free safety out of Michigan State. This guy had a first-round grade, a late first, early second-round grade for me. Don't know why he went undrafted, but it's amazing. He should be able to stick on this roster, and they might have found themselves a heck of a gem, one of the best undrafted free agent signings of any team. Brandon Ivory, DN/D-tackle out of Alabama, also can fit on that line. I think that he's a very active force who might be a practice squad guy this year, but you never know what will happen down the line. I think that he is a good addition for a team that needed some defensive line depth. James Rouse, outside linebacker out of Marshall. Big-time ability. You know, he didn't get drafted because of the injury history. This guy could be very helpful to this Houston Texans organization. And then Lyndon Trail, outside linebacker out of Norfolk State. This kid is just a freaking hoss. He's just built like a football player. I didn't think that he was going to get drafted because even though he had some solid production, I think it was more physical ability than it was anything else. So he gets the opportunity to prove himself and prove his worth on a team that clearly is looking for pass rushing options, as you see how many outside linebackers they have brought into the fold. Overall, the Texans, as I said last week or a couple of weeks ago, I gave them a B for their grade. I thought they did a great job getting starters with their first three picks, and I didn't dislike much of what they did in the draft, except for the Cleat pick. I didn't really understand where they were going with that. So we're going to go on to the Indianapolis Colts. Now, the Indianapolis Colts, you know, went to the AFC Championship this year. They defeated the Broncos, and they moved on to the Patriots and just weren't ready for that challenge. Let's see what they have to offer in this particular setup. They ended up having 8 selections in the draft. And their first-round selection, 29th overall, was Philip Dorsett out of Miami. I gave it a C-. What you have to understand is this is not an indictment on his talent. It's an indictment on what the team is doing. I know that they're trying to get more speed and receiving options for Andrew Luck because apparently Andrew Luck has never had a receiving option available for him. I really think Andrew Luck has had a receiver drafted in the top 3 picks every year. And they already had a Hall of Famer on the roster, and they went and picked up another. It seems like he apparently never has enough receiving options in a run-based offense. But that's neither here nor there. It's an indictment on the team selecting this guy when where is he going to fit? Is he going to play opposite of T.Y. Hilton? I just don't know how this fits in. I know that he's a talented guy, but I don't agree with the pick. Third round, 65th overall pick, Dewan Smith, cornerback out of Florida Atlantic. Gave it a B-. You know, he has ball skills and the ability to make plays as a return man. They did need help at the cornerback position. I thought they could have gone in another direction with that cornerback selection. He does kind of fit the mold of what they like, kind of like a Davis that's already there at corner. They like that type of physical corner who can come up and play and get in your face. That's what Dewan Smith does. So it should be very helpful. Sticking in the third round, 93rd overall pick, Henry Anderson, DN out of Stanford. Gave it a C. You know, Anderson has the style of game that the Colts are looking to play. He was just drafted way too early, in my opinion. I thought that he was more in the back end, that sixth-round area. So getting him in the third round, that's pretty much the indictment. It's the sixth to seventh round that I thought that he would probably go since there were more talented players available at this time. Fourth round, 109th overall pick, Clayton Gethers, safety out of UCF. Gave it a B. You know, Gethers has the opportunity to be a day one starter at strong safety. Really, actually, I give it a B+. Sorry, folks. Has the opportunity to be a day one starter. And that's probably the gem of the draft for this particular organization. Fifth round, 151st overall pick, David Perry, nose tackle out of Stanford. Gave it a C+. You know, he will provide solid depth along a D-line that needs it. And he might end up working his way into getting some minutes at that nose tackle position. Sixth round, 205th overall pick, Josh Robinson, running back out of Mississippi State. Gave it a C-. Yet another Mississippi State running back taken at a spot that wasn't expected. Robinson does have, you know, some physical ability. I know he runs hard, but he does not select lanes well. He doesn't have the vision that even his former contemporary Vic Ballard had coming out of Mississippi State. I just didn't understand the pick when there were better backs on the board, in my opinion. Sixth round, 207th overall pick, Amarlo Herrera, inside linebacker out of Georgia. I gave it a C. You know, Herrera is a hitter more than a tackler. He's also quite stiff, which causes him to be limited in pass coverage. Do think that he's a good football player. He's more of a fill guy and a depth guy than a starter. Seventh round, 255th overall pick, Denzel Good, offensive tackle out of Mars Hill. I gave it a C+ grade. Reason that I gave it a C+ grade is because they do like to run the ball. They do need the offensive line depth. I'm not too familiar with this player. This is one of the guys I've tried to get information on him. I just have not been able to. But the addition to the offensive line is welcome, considering the style of play for this particular organization. And then here's some undrafted guys that have the opportunity to make the roster. Look at Brian Bennett, quarterback out of Southeastern Louisiana. I just think that this guy definitely has some physical skills that match up with what Andrew Luck does. So if they like that, they'll like what Bennett has to offer. Donald Salazar, cornerback out of Western Michigan, you know, has the ability to come in and play multiple positions in the secondary. And I think that they got a steal being able to pick him up to add to the roster. Zach Hodges, outside linebacker out of Harvard. Situational pass rusher in a 4-3 when they go with a more pass defending set, when they go with their dime set, and a guy who can come in and spot duty on the outside linebacker position. Let's see if he's able to adjust to that role. He's played with his hand in the ground, getting around the edge. Definitely able to do that. It's just whether or not he can function as a stand-up player consistently. Tyler Varga, running back out of Yale. You know, he might actually be a guy who ends up making the roster and getting some minutes, and maybe Josh Robinson doesn't make the roster. So you need to kind of look at it, because I think he plays the style that is more appealing to this team. So he might actually get himself a roster spot. And then Junior Silvestri, inside linebacker out of Toledo. Similarly, I think that he has a little more talent than Amarlo Herrera. Herrera is a better football player, but Silvestri has more talent. Let's see if he's able to make the roster and stick. Overall, like I said, I think I gave them a C grade. I did like the fact they addressed the defensive side of the ball on the line, but I don't like the fact that they just seemed to make some picks that didn't make sense for me, at least. Or to me, I should say. So the Jacksonville Jaguars are up next. and the Jaguars have done the duty the last 2 years in the draft. I've actually been very impressed with what they've done. Just let you know, last time we talked, I gave them a B grade because I thought they did very well. They had 8 selections, and let's see what they were able to do with them. First round, 3rd overall pick, Dante Fowler Jr. out of Florida. I gave it a C grade. Main reason is because while I think he has great talent and I think that he's good at making splash plays, I didn't like it for this particular team. He doesn't play well with his hand on the ground. He makes most of his plays from the two-point stance. I didn't think it spoke to him playing that defensive end position. He actually ended up getting hurt in minicamp, and that's unfortunate. So speedy recovery to you, young man. Keep your head up, and maybe he's able to learn more about how to do some stuff with his hand on the ground, scheme-wise, and maybe develop some strength while he's out. I don't know, but like I said, that was my contention with the pick where he was selected. Second round, 36th overall pick, T.J. Yeldon, running back out of Alabama, got a straight A. You know, the Jaguars drafted their new starter at running back and an impact player, in my opinion. I think he's the best back on the roster, and it's not even close. Storm Johnson can also contribute, and Denard Robinson can have some spot duty work, but I think Toby Gerhardt's out the door. Third round, 67 overall pick, A.J. Khan, guard out of South Carolina. Gave it a B+. You know, he'll probably be the likely starter at right guard moving forward. I like what he has to offer. I think that he is a guy who really did have the opportunity to go in the late first round with the way that he has been a performer for South Carolina over the last few years. Fourth round, 104th overall pick, James Sample, safety out of Louisville. I gave it a C-. Again, not an indictment on the player. You know, he's a quality in-the-box defender, in my opinion. They already had this type of player on the roster, though. And while you have that, you needed more of a ball hawk. You needed a guy like a Gerald Holloman, his teammate. He would have been more helpful for what they're looking for. They needed a free safety who could play single high. They needed that. They didn't go out and get that, and that's the indictment on the selection more than the player himself. Fifth round, 139th overall pick, Rashad Greene, wide receiver out of Florida State, gave it a B. You know, the addition of a slot receiver to work the intermediate area of the field should help out Blake Bortles in year two. The other receivers on the roster, there's a lot of number one receivers on the roster, a lot of X receivers on the roster, and even Z receivers. They didn't have a true slot guy, and this should be very helpful. Rashad Greene does his job quite well. Sixth round, 180th overall pick, Michael Bennett, defensive tackle out of Ohio State, gave it a B. You know, Bennett is an active defensive interior lineman who fits the bill of what Bradley wants to do from the perspective of a defensive tackle. You know, he is a guy who can be active from the interior of the defensive line. I do like the selection for this particular team. Seventh round, 220th overall selection, Neil Sterling, wide receiver out of Monmouth. I give it a C+. Reason being is he will work as a big-time red zone target, but it's a crowded receiving core. They've been bringing guys on. I mean, you still have Allen Hurns on the roster. You still have Marquise Lee on the roster, Allen Robinson. There's so many guys still on the roster. It's amazing. I mean, unless Neil Sterling is going to be turned into undersized, like a tight end hybrid guy, a guy who kind of plays flexed out, I don't understand what else they're going to do with him. So it'll get figured out, but he is a good addition to have on a team. And then seventh round, that's why this is really, the Neil Sterling pick was confusing. They jumped on it, and I understand why. Ben Koyak, tight end out of Notre Dame, the 229th overall pick, A+. You know, the addition of Koyak gives them an inline tight end to go along with the oversized wide receiver named Julius Thomas that they picked up, and a tweener tight end in Mercedes Lewis. They're giving more weapons to Blake Bortles to play with, and hopefully he uses them. So here are some guys who are undrafted free agents that have a chance to make the roster. Corey Grant, running back return man out of Auburn, guy who can hit home runs for them in the return game, could be very helpful. Another guy out of Auburn to look at, cornerback/quarterback Nick Marshall. You know, they need help in that secondary. Nick Marshall, you know, he hasn't really played it much, but let's see. He might make the transition, and you never know. They might use him on some gimmick plays on the offensive side of the ball. In the NFL, it's all about trying to win games, and Jacksonville hasn't done much of that recently. Let's see if they can get back to their winning ways of the late 90s, early 2000s. And Jake Waters, quarterback out of Kansas State. I like Jake Waters. I actually did a write-up on Jake Waters earlier in the season. I think that he's one of those guys that he could stick around the league and be a backup quarterback who can come in and be a possible spot starter in some scenarios and get the job done. Big fan of what he has to offer. So moving on to the last team in this division, the Tennessee Titans. Now, the Titans made a big splash by going out and getting Marcus Mariota in that first round. They have 9 picks total in this draft. Let's see what they did to try to improve the chances of their team as they move forward. So first round, as I said, second overall pick, Marcus Mariota, quarterback out of Oregon. Gave it a C grade. You know, I didn't understand the addition of a young quarterback to a team with a better scheme fit guy already on the roster. They better figure out what they want to do. They say Mariota's been impressive. I think that he is a guy who's got a lot to him, but he's got to be developed. He's got to work a little longer in the system, and I just didn't think it was a good scheme fit. You can't ask the guy to come in and do certain things that he's not really capable of doing right off the bat. Second round, 40th overall selection, Doriel Green Beckham, wide receiver out of Missouri. B-plus grade here. You know, the clear-cut, most talented wide receiver on the roster at this point. Let's see if he's able to produce in the manner that his talent allows. He will give them the opportunity to make guys slide down to more natural positions as he comes in and should play the X receiver from day one. Third round, 66 overall pick, Jeremiah Patasi out of Utah. He's going to play guard here. Give it a B-minus. You know, the interior portion of the line should be shored up with Chance Warmack, Patasi, and other guys really contributing for that to that guard position. Fourth round, 100th overall pick, Angelo Blackson, defensive tackle out of Auburn. C grade. Reason being, you know, he was the less talented option of the D tackles at Auburn. You know, didn't think he was really a fourth round guy. I thought that while he was more consistent of the two options that were there at D tackle, his talent didn't speak to it, and that's not really an indictment. It's just there's so many guys who can go drafted in the NFL draft. There's honestly about 500 guys that have the opportunity to really get drafted, maybe even more than that. So I thought there were some more talented defensive tackle guys out there. Fourth round, 108th overall selection, Jostin Fowler, fullback out of Alabama. Gave it a B. You know, the drafting of Fowler gives them a versatile fullback that can catch the ball out of the backfield. It shows that they have a commitment to the running game and that they plan on using their backs more often with the addition of Pollard. Fifth round, 138th overall selection, David Cobb, running back out of Minnesota, gave it a B grade. You know, Cobb should be able to challenge Sankey for the starting running back position because he has smooth transitions and understands how to run inside the tackles. Sixth round, 177th overall pick, Deontrez Mount, outside linebacker out of Louisville. A lot of Louisville defensive linemen and defensive players, I should say, going in this draft. I gave it a C-plus grade. You know, he was a less heralded of the pass rushing guys from Louisville, but he definitely has a motor, and that will help in this scenario. I think that he could be a helpful spot guy for this defense. Sixth round, sticking in it, 208th overall selection. We're looking at Andy Gaelic, center out of Boston College, gave it an A grade. You know, to me, they got a guy who's a starting center in the NFL and one of the best players at the position. You know, he will be the man in the middle sooner than later, in my opinion. And seventh round pick, 245th overall selection, Trey McBride, wide receiver out of William & Mary, B+. You know, this guy will make an impact in season one in some manner. You look at all the receiving options that are there now for Mariota, and you have to say, if he plays anywhere near where he could, it'll be because these guys have a lot of talent. They took two really talented wide receivers in this draft, and if both live up to their potential, this Tennessee team could be a shocking team to make a playoff run and push for this division, even though, let's be honest, the Colts probably have it fairly locked up at this point. So let's look at some undrafted free agents that have a chance to make the roster. Jose Matias, offensive guard out of Florida State. You know, they're trying to make sure that they have everything secured in that middle, and they're covering their bases by picking up guys who are talented, but undrafted. They want to make sure that quarterback's protected and that they can run the ball more effectively than they did last year. Cody Pruitt, free safety out of Ole Miss. Big fan of Cody Pruitt. He was a guy who, he's stiff in how he plays, doesn't look overly athletic, but he's always making plays. You have to say something for a guy who does stuff like that. Always making plays, always around the ball. That's a talent. You can't coach that. Quentin Spann, offensive guard out of West Virginia. Another guy who just has a lot of talent. Surprised that he didn't go drafted or get drafted. Very interesting scenario to see him be available for a Titans team that is clearly making a commitment to the run and the protection of the quarterback in the interior portion of the line. Going with the center, a guard, and the draft, and then picking up these two guys. And then Derek Lott, defensive end slash defensive tackle out of Chattanooga. Definitely a talented guy who I thought was going to get drafted later on in the draft, that 6th to 7th round range. Should be very helpful for a team that plans on playing a 3-4 scheme this year. Lott can play that 5 technique if necessary. So, as I stated before, I give the team grade to the Tennessee Titans of a B-. Like I said, I love the selection of Trey McBride and Andy Gaelic making those late selections. Thought that they tried to help their team as best as possible get better, and that is something that they did pretty well. So remember, folks, if you ever want to participate in the show, more than welcome to. That call-in number is 323-657-1489. That's 323-657-1489. Switching gears a little bit, the NBA Finals start off tonight. And it's the Splash Brothers versus King James and pretty much the Knicks. Should be interesting. I mean, you just need to have fun with it. Whether LeBron wins and brings Cleveland their first title in 50-plus years, or the Splash Brothers, who are the most interesting watch in basketball, because they're just playing, having fun out there. They're just playing ball, having fun. Whoever wins, I'm happy with, because – end of the day, I like both. I'm a LeBron fan. You can't help but be a fan of Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and those guys. Those guys play hard basketball. It's good stuff. So, folks, enjoy the game tonight. I hope you enjoy the show tonight. Like I said, we're going to be finishing up over the next few weeks as we transition into another product or another outlook for the Football Game Plan Radio Network. And speaking of which, this is Chris James signing off for the Football Game Plan Radio Network. Take care. Have a great weekend. The summer's starting up, and it's time to get out there and have some fun in the sun, folks. Bye-bye.